You see, we can learn how to handle the devil. How many say amen? We can learn how to handle the devil. He may wall us around a while when we're young in Christ, but as we begin to grow, the Bible said, in the knowledge of God, we can grow in power with God. And the first thing you know, in a sense, we have our spiritual baseball bats. An old slew foot makes a dive at us. We just cover him. How many say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The authority of a believer. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Let us look in Corinthians 5 and 17. The Bible, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. But he has to be in Christ, and Christ in him. That's what makes us new. A lot of folks, you know, that profess Christianity in the world, they're not Christians. We only professors. How many know that? But when Christ is within you, you see, greater is he that is within you than he that's in the world. Don't ever try to figure you can whip the devil without God in you. You can't do it. He's bigger than a natural man. He's got more power than a natural man. But according to the Word of God, when we become Christians, we have a scripture that tells us to give no place to the devil.
Right.
That means we can handle him. How many say amen?
Amen.
We can handle him. And so here he said that we're in Christ and we become a new creature. And he said, all things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So we're no longer that servant that was under the law back there in the days of the prophets, but we become sons and daughters of God, and we begin to recognize who we are. And when old Satan comes along and said, hey boy, I'm going to get the best of you, you just say, I want to see you do it, Satan.
Yeah.
Even a young man can have power over Satan.
Sure.
A teenage boy can have power over Satan. Anyone that has the Holy Ghost in their life has the greatest power this side of heaven.
Right.
I've heard people, you know, stand and testify, and they'd say, I feel like I'm the weakest one among them. You heard that, haven't you? Oh, we want to be humble before God. But that's again the Bible. The Bible said, let the weak say he is what?
Strong.
Never confess weakness to the devil, because the weakest in Christ Jesus is stronger than Satan. Come on, say amen. So let the weak say that he is what strong. We're stronger than the devil. Now, these young fellows that receive the Holy Ghost, let's see your hands. Who was it last Sunday night? Okay, here's a young lad right here, about, 14, 15? Too much. Okay, 13. Well, that's a good year that all the kids are looking for. 13. At least he's a teenager, see. 13 years of age. And if he received the Holy Ghost Sunday night, he has power tonight over the devil. Come on, say amen. Because the Holy Ghost is Christ within us. And when Christ gets in us, we have authority and power over the power of the enemy. Amen. So the Bible says we have been translated from the kingdom of Satan or darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. In Luke 10 and 19, he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents. Listen to it now. And scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means shall hurt you, the Word of God says.
Hallelujah.
Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to people of God. I give you, 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 he said, authority and power over all the power of that wicked one. And we know who that is, it's Satan. So, we don't have to have any fear. You know what happens when folks have fear? They receive torment for it. But the Bible says, fear bringeth torment. But faith bringeth relief and joy in the Lord. So the authority of the believer, we could walk out into this old wicked world, and many folks are worrying about what's going to happen to our world, you know. What's going to happen to our nation? The economy is shaking, you know. And I don't know, we may be laid off, you know, and I'll lose my car and I'll lose my home. And how am I going to feed my children? I'll tell you, I don't know what the world's coming to. What I do, it's going to come to an end.
Amen.
And I think a lot sooner than we think it is. Even though we may shorten it down and say, well, maybe the Lord will come in a year, 2 years, but I don't know. He could come tomorrow. He could come tonight. And listen to me, my friend. We need to be ready. So the Bible says here that we're translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And God said, behold, I give you, that's the one to put in His kingdom, power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over ALL, all power of the enemy, and He said, nothing shall hurt you.
Hallelujah.
That means the flu, that's something, isn't it? That means TB, that's something, isn't it? That means cancer, that's something, isn't it?
Oh, God.
Amen. That means arthritis, you know, and that means lumbago, and that means headaches, and that means heart condition, and that means, well, there could be a list. You could write a book of the names of troubles and disease that are in the world today. New ones are being discovered, and some they've never found a cure for yet, but Jesus found a cure for it, amen, when He took His stripes. You know what He said? He said, with His stripes we were, past tense, already healed.
Hallelujah.
Just like salvation, you know. It's not God's fault that that sinner out there on the street tonight isn't here in the church saved. How many know that? And it's not God's fault. We as Christian people, that if we've got some kind of a disease, that isn't God's fault. It is our fault for not having the kind of faith God wants us to have. You're getting quiet on me. Say amen, somebody. I said it's our fault. You know, our faith can grow in grace and knowledge of God, and you learn to believe God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank
you, Jesus. We had a lady in our church not long ago that I preached the faith message, and when I got through with it on Sunday night, she said, Brother Greer, I need prayer. She said, I can't even see that clock. We had the clock right back up there and bright lights shine on it and play it for them. And she said it was larger, I think, numbers and everything in the white, you know, background, and that one there. And she said, I can't even read those numbers from the second pew. And she said, even with my glasses on, she said, I just feel like I'm just going blind. In fact, a few weeks before that, she woke up one morning and she was blind. She couldn't see nothing, and for over 2 hours, she was complete, totally blind, and she sat there and prayed, and prayed, and prayed, and finally, a little bit of light began to come to her, and gradually, she began to get where she could see again. And so that night, she said, I need prayer, and I said, a call, and if we will agree together, now the Bible said two of us, that's all it takes, we'll agree, He said, we can have whatever we say. And she comes up to the platform, and we anoint her in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that God had given me power and authority over the devil. And I said, in the name of Jesus, we bind this condition that's upon our sister. I laid hands upon her, and we commanded that thing to go that was bothering her. And she walked back after prayer, sat down on the pew, and just before I dismissed her, she lifted her head and said, can I say a word? I said, yes. And she said, I want to testify. And she began to praise God. She didn't have her glasses on, but she said, I can read those numbers just as plain as anybody in the church could read them. 6 months later, and that's been about 4 weeks ago, 6 months later, she stood and told a congregation of people about it, and she said, I've never put my glasses on since that night. I've never needed them since that night. I read my fine print since that night, because she had faith in God. She believed that we took authority over that thing that was causing the blindness and absolutely received a miracle. I got her faith higher than mine. I'm still wearing my glasses. But God may. See, I preach faith. Faith comes with hearing. She was hearing. Maybe I wasn't hearing too good that night or something. But I got her faith up. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. How can you hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? How many say amen? And if you can just listen to the Word of God, faith begins to churn up and down in your innermost beings. And right here tonight, over this weekend, if you're sick, you can get well.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody that's sick can get well. Everybody that's sick can get well. And God doesn't look at your disease. He doesn't, you know, like the old doc. The old doc will pick one out here, you know, and you go to the doctor and he'll, now I'm not against doctor. Don't get that in your head. I'm not against physicians and medication, nothing like that. But, you know, you go to the doctor and he said, first thing he'd ask you, what do you hurt? You said, well, I hurt right in here. He said, you got stomach trouble.
Yeah.
Another guy go to the doctor, you know, and he said, where do you hurt? Right in here. He said, your heart's bothered you. But God don't ask us what's wrong with us. He already knows. When we go to Him, we say, God, He said, yes, son or daughter, I'm sick. He don't say what's wrong. He knows what's wrong. He knows what's wrong. And therefore, He just takes His great big hand of healing, and it's like your little child. I see that little blonde-headed girl. Where's she at? Right there she is. She came over to Brother Rutland this afternoon, and I said, honey, God's answered my prayer. I've been praying for a little sweet blonde-headed girl, and she just smiled and just turned around there, and I just hugged her.
Uh-huh.
I almost stole that little girl.
Uh-huh.
Now look, what would this mother and father do if all of a sudden one of these little children would fall and just fall flat on their face and maybe hit something that would just chunk a piece out of their cheek and the blood was streaming down? What would the mom and dad do? They'd come crying to him and say, get out of here.
No.
Would they do that? No way. You know they wouldn't do it. If they did, they wouldn't be mothers.
That's right.
They wouldn't be fathers. But they would grab them and they'd begin to, honey, what's the matter? And they'd begin to wash away and wipe the blood away to see how bad they were hurt. And they'll do everything within their power to help that little one that's suffering. Why? Because that's their daughter. That's their son. That's your daughter. That's your son.
Amen.
Woo! Hey, hey. And daughters of Jesus Christ, and when we come to Him and He knows we're hurting, all we got to do is say, Father, I'm hurting. He said, yes, son, I know it. And He tells us in the Bible He wants to help us.
He wants to
help us. It's like that man in sin. He wants to save him, but he has to believe in him, let him save him. He's got to believe the Word and let God save him. God won't save him against his will.
Right.
God won't save him unless you believe. He said it's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to please God.
Right.
Now we can please God, see, for salvation and find the Lord, and that's good. But I'm going to tell you, He said, I give you authority. I'm talking about the authority of the believer over Satan.
Right.
I give you power over how much of it? All power of the enemy. Every disease and every sickness, every hurt that comes from man, He said, I give you power over that. It's in the Bible. And when it's in the Bible, I've got to believe it. I've got to believe it. If I died with cancer next week, I'd still say, God, I'm dying with a useless disease because you paid the price. You said with your stripes, I'm healed, and I accept it by faith. Hallelujah. And by the same talker, we as Christian people, we look into the Bible and we say, oh God, I'm hurting. And oh, God just said, honey, come, I want to take you in my arms and love you and
soothe away the tears and heal you.
Hallelujah.
I'm not sure that we went to this city after we left here a few years ago, but we went into Ohio, town of Columbus, I think it's after we left here. And we preached a revival when it was what they called the old church. There was a lot of elderly people there. And, of course, you know, Satan makes us believe when you pass 50, you know, you're over the cliff.
Yeah.
Come on, 50s and say amen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he gets some folks when they get 40, you know. One preacher, and you know him, Brother Ike Mitchell,
yeah,
used to do my hair cutting in Walnut Ridge when I was in my early 30s, and he was past 40. And he called me Brother Greer. He couldn't say Brother Greer. He said, Brother Greer. And he attended our church. And he said, I'd go into his barber shop, you know, and I'd say, Brother Mitchell, how you doing? Not feeling good this morning, he said, Brother Greer. I said, what's the matter? And he began to tell me where he's aching and hurting. I said, come on, boy. I said, God's got better things for us than that. He said, you just wait till you get 40, man. You're going to see the devil. Well, I got 40, Sister John, and man, I didn't know the difference.
Uh-huh.
The only way I knew it was there is because my daddy said I was born a certain year.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody else said, well, boy, you just wait till you get about half a hundred, and then you're going to go over the hill. That is the top of the hill, and you start down on the other side. And I passed that, and I didn't know the difference. Hallelujah! You said, how old are you? That's none of your business. I'm preaching the gospel tonight. He said, when are you going to stop? I done stopped. I'm stopped before you think of wondering how far I'm going to go, and let us get back to the work. God said, I give you power and authority over all the power of the enemy. Not just a portion of it, but all of it, said. And the scripture I quoted a while ago is 1 John 4:4, and greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So, you and I, just as people, are no match for Satan, but in a sense, when we receive the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives, we become a cassius clay. The only difference in us, you know, we never get whipped. Come on, say amen. Old Cassius finally got whipped. He got over the cliff. But in the spirit, you don't get over the hill. Come on. We may get over the hill, and our steps begin to slow up sometime in life, but I telling God, you know, I've always said I'm going to make 100, and this past weekend, I'll tell you, I raised my sights. You know why I did? I looked at a man's picture in a paper, and he was standing behind a sacred desk. They got him posed like that. Give his name, his address, and said he's 110 years old, and he's still preacher. Said he preaches hellfire and brimstone as hot as he ever did, and that he preaches like a man half his age, and said no use to try to book him for revival because he's booked up to 1981 and 1982. Not weekend revivals, or not 5 days a week, but he has 3 weeks revival. He won't even talk to you unless you give him an opening for 3 weeks. And of course, they want him. Now, there's got to be something in that 110-year-old preacher to get him booked up almost 2 years in advance. See, when God gets in a person, he just forgets about age. Come on, if you can believe God. I get back in that old Bible and I get to reading, you know, about those old fellows lived to be 800, 900 years old, you know. And I said, well, we're just kids, you know, fellows like you and I are just kids. Amen. We're just kids. We're young people. Those are the old people. In fact, I got to the place I called them in our church. I said, the word old is forbidden in the Apostolic Bible Church. Unless you're reading in the Old Testament, and we'll read about them real old men. That's all right there. So, he gave us power and authority over the devil. Let us go a little farther. Jesus gave his disciples that authority even before they received the Holy Ghost. Did you ever read about it? He took those men one day aside and said, hey, look, guys, I am going to give you power over the enemy enough you can raise the dead. You can heal the sick, and they were not in the Holy Ghost age that we're in. And you know we're in a better dispensation right now, right? We're in a better age. They wanted to see that, and they finally lived to see it. But even before they received the Holy Ghost, they cast out devils, they raised the dead, and they did miracles. And then when God got ready, you know, to start His church, somebody smile and say, "Amen." He called them in off of the fields and said, "Fellas, I want to take you out here aside, and I want to talk with you."
Hallelujah.
While he was talking, you know the story. In Luke, I believe the 24th chapter, after he began to talk to them and open their understanding, he began to go away. They stood there gazing into heaven. That angel said, "The same Jesus whom you see go away in like manner is going to return." I believe he's coming in visible form. I believe we're going to be able to see him. You don't know, you know, he's not going to be a spirit just come flying down through the air and you think a whirlwind came by. No, no. He's going to be visible in like manner. That means just like you see him go away. He's visible when he went away. He'll be visible when he returns. And can you imagine that all of a sudden you'll be driving down the highway, maybe another fellow working in the factory, and somebody else just lying there sleeping in the bed, you know, and all of a sudden just that twinkle of an eye, everything began to happen. The grace burst open all over the world. People that's ready and filled with the Spirit, and they rise. You know, the Bible said the dead in Christ will rise first. But you know why he said they'd rise first? When us that remain alive should be caught up together with him forever to be with the Lord. You see, they're 6 feet lower than we are, huh? We know that, don't we? That, I believe that's what you're supposed to dig the grave. 6 feet. And so they have to come up 6 feet or we'd have a 6 foot start on them, see. But he said we'd be caught up together. So the dead in Christ will rise first, and us that remain alive will be caught up together with him to meet the Lord in the air forever to be with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So we